It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody for being tuned in, being locked in all over North America. I'm in Atlanta. Thank you to our producer in New York City, Chris Persiana, for holding things down on the board. We got a lot to get into. We've been hanging out for 2 hours. I'll be with you for another two. The show gets started 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can always listen on the free Odyssey app. You can tune in on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate, Sirius XM, okay? Channel 375. If you got a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. We talked about Rafael Devers' trade. We talked about Desmond Bain being traded. We got into the return today, or tonight, I should say, of Shohei Ohtani. He'll be back on the mound for one inning. Giancarlo Stanton is back for the New York Yankees. Matter of fact, I want to see what this injured, I'll choose my words carefully, this generally injured fellow, I'll tell you in a few minutes what the heck he's up to. Got the NBA Finals, Game 5 tonight in Oklahoma City. They'll get going in about 30 to 40 minutes from now. And then here on this show, we got a lot to do, too. Of course, at the end of the show, we'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. It's just another busy, busy day in the world of sports. If you want to call me, you can do that. Here's a phone number. You ready? 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. You can find me on the internet. I am everywhere. I am at JR Sport Brief. At JR Sport Brief, all over the place on the internet. Now, I just mentioned to you about Giancarlo Stanton making his return. Well, he's in the New York Yankees lineup. As it stands right now, he is still healthy. He has had one at bat. Yeah, and there's nothing. He didn't do anything. He popped out, lined out. Yeah, no strikeouts, no home runs. And then Aaron Judge, what else is new? Aaron Judge is he has a hit. What a shocker. Aaron Judge with a batting average heading into tonight of a 378, 26 home runs to go along with 60 RBIs. What a freak. Unless Aaron Judge just goes out there and stubs another toe. Man, this dude is on his way to another MVP award. Man is built like a power forward out here just playing baseball. What a freak. Aaron Judge is just something to be seen. And we saw, unfortunately, over the weekend, the New York Yankees got handled by the Boston Red Sox, and then they shipped Rafael Devers on out of town. And I know Red Sox fans just all over the country forget Red Sox fans up in the Northeast, up in Boston, in New England. They're just, they got to be ticked off. Like, and I don't know if we've reached the space of fandom where fans are just, you think about Luka Doncic being traded. That was a complete disaster. You think about him moving and going from the Mavs to the Lakers on a Saturday night. You just have to scratch your head, and you feel bad for the Mavs fans who now all of a sudden are going to end up with Cooper Flagg. You think about the Red Sox, who are just like, oh, my God, we lose Mookie, and now, oh, we're actually trading Devers as well. It's got to be heartbreaking. Because there was a point in time, and I know you think about modern free agency in sports, there was a time where players did not move around, and there was a time when players did move around. It didn't seem to be with the same frequency. It certainly is not with the same, I want to say, players pushing the eject button of the same type of way that we've had in the past. It's a wild situation that we're in right now in the world of professional sports, where a guy with a 10-year contract, $300 million, can just, poof, be moved. You think about a legend like Kevin Durant, okay, at the end of his career, closer to the end of his career. I don't know when that guy's going to quit. But he's getting moved around. We had this trade yesterday. Desmond Bane, just on a Sunday morning, we're learning that he will be moved and will be traded while the playoffs, the finals, are going on. And I'm sure the NBA is not thrilled with the fact that this was announced, but what are you going to do? I mean, you can hold off on officially doing. You can do all these things. If teams want to have a chat, they could have a chat. Nobody's going to stop them. This is not college. And even college has its own issues right now when it comes to when the transfer portal is open or not. I mean, damn it, even in college basketball, Chris, I know you remember this. We were literally in the midst of the NCAA tournament. March Madness is going on. And we got teams that are just bringing in players, and players are leaving teams. It's just, it's a disaster. And instead of being fully focused in on the tournament, we were looking at who was going where. And then we got the same thing going on with the NBA right now.
Yeah, I mean, it feels a little bit like, how do you even analogize this? It feels a little bit like starting your birthday list halfway through opening your Christmas presents.
So what? You do, say it again, what?
It feels like
my birthday and what? Christmas? What is it? Say that again. I'm just trying to make sure if my brain sometimes doesn't work. Chris, you got to forgive me. Say that again.
No, I think if one of the two brains here is not working, it would be mine. But I'm trying to liken it to starting to get going on asking for gifts for your birthday when you've only opened half your Christmas gifts. Like, it's Christmas Day. There's stuff going on you should be focused on, and you're just thinking about, oh, what are we doing in the future? Like,
makes sense. My brain didn't work in that regard. That made sense. I can dig that. Yeah, it's to look that forward is bad. And for the trade yesterday, the Desmond Bane trade, there's nothing that the NBA can do. And I'm not going to say it's overshadowed, you know, by it's overshadowing the entire series, but it's certainly. It don't feel good. Like, it's like, wait a minute. Shouldn't we be talking about the actual basketball going on right now? And I don't think people are going to forget, oh, my God, it's Tom Thibodeau. But you would want all of the attention as much as possible on the finals. Not the Knicks' next head coach. Not where Kevin Durant is going to go. Not now Desmond Bane, you know, moving and being traded over. It's, it sucks. If I'm Adam Silver, I don't know what you can do. I think the answer is absolutely nothing. But try to tell the teams, hey, can y'all keep it down? And I think as a league, I don't think it hurts the league. But if I'm Adam Silver, I just can we just focus on the basketball? Like, we don't need to be all over the world trying to figure all of this out. It's kind of bad. And then in regards to just bad, I know the Red Sox are being looked upon right now as potentially, saving money, obviously, when it comes down to Rafael Devers getting off of his $300 million contract. But there are a lot of fans as well who feel that they are looking at this situation right now and at the Fenway Sports Group that also owns Liverpool, that they're trying to basically save money with the Red Sox so they can go ahead and make some financial moves on the soccer team on the other side of the pond. Now, it's possible, but I still believe that there wouldn't be a market for Rafael Devers unless the guy was acting like a complete ass. Like, what other recommendation, what other course of action would the Red Sox have to move this dude? They can't just wake up and say, oh, we're just trading him. Impossible. And I know nothing's impossible. We can look at what happened with Luka Doncic. It's just a wild situation. I want you to take a listen to this. This is Jeff Pontes. He was on Baseball America, and he basically said the Red Sox were looking at other trades, but they did this one because of the money. Wow. Yeah, well, that's not going to be the first or the last time that we hear anybody say that a decision was made based on financial incentives. I mean, look, if I own a baseball team and I own a soccer team and I own also they got part of Pittsburgh, they got part of the Penguins right now, you would think the last thing that anybody would be thinking about or worried about is cash or money. But if I get to keep more money and cash on the balance sheet and I don't necessarily have to go out there and spend it, like the valuation of all the teams are going to continue to go up. unless we're in store for some massive crash, only the Boston Red Sox. I mean, Major League Baseball sure does know how to screw up a good thing, unless they start screwing around with the TV money and whatnot. I don't know. Are we in store for a baseball bubble to get burst? Maybe down the line. Maybe this is all not, every bubble can get burst, except for, I think, the NFLs. And even them, if there was ever some type of massive injury scare, that would scare, you know, people from playing the game. But I don't ever see that happening. Baseball can screw things up when it comes down, just flat and period, to television contracts. Like, they're like, oh, we don't want to be with ESPN anymore. ESPN didn't treat us nice. Or they may want to decide, oh, well, we're not making enough money here. I feel like baseball has now gotten contracts from everybody, and I think they're shorting themselves in the long run. And so, I don't know, maybe the Henrys and Fenway Sports Group know something I do not know. But I think when it comes down to the big picture of things, the big picture of things here, yeah, owners can be cheap. They can already be billionaires. And let's just say they didn't become billionaires by just going out there and spending every dime, dollar, and cent that they have to their name. Chris, what are your thoughts on baseball and its financial future? It's still crazy to me that we got guys now like Soto, Ohtani, they're making more than $700 million. Like, does this all come to a head? Are those going to be the top two contracts that we see for a while? It seems that we already have a lot of owners who pretty much they're trying to restrict the players' contracts. We have a lot of guys who, stars, that move into free agency, like Alex Bregman. He can go an entire offseason and not know where the hell he's going to end up until a couple weeks before. So do you think these contracts have kind of peaked? They can't get too much higher than what it already is, right?
This is a good question, JR, because you're really asking how the market is going to respond with the interested parties in the market being MLB franchises. Like, do they look at Soto and now this Kyle Tucker extension's coming up, right? And do the Cubs look at this and just say, well, there's no way any team is going to look at the Soto deal and say, yeah, we want all that attention. We want all that publicity. We want that kind of publicity. I don't know that players will stop being worth so much to teams, but do we see teams shy away from wanting to give those contracts? And all of a sudden, if the supply of superstars is there, but the demand for some reason is lower, it becomes a game of chicken with the owners. It's like, oh, who's going to cave and give this guy what he wants? Now, Soto, there was a bidding war, but you raise a good question. Like, could we see the bidding war be the opposite way? Could it be which team caves and gives this guy the money he wants? I feel like players always have the power at the end of the day. Like, coaches, great minds. JR, you could probably think about 10 coaches right now that indubitably that their team would not have won a championship without them. But that said, the players are the ones hitting the balls or making the baskets or throwing the touchdowns. I feel like we see these contracts continue to somehow go up.
Yeah, and here, the thing, the larger issue, I think, as well, is that there's a discrepancy. If we can think about a baseball player who's making a minimum, making a couple hundred, or a few hundred, or half a mil, I should say, which is not chump change by any stretch of the imagination, at the end of the bench, and then you're in the same locker room with the Shohei Ohtani, who, all things considered, and yes, the money is deferred, but on a flat basis, he's making $70 million a year. The other guy at the end of the locker room is making 500 are making half of that. And so that we have this discrepancy of the haves and have-nots. My larger thought and concern is, are we going to reach a point? Baseball is pulling in billions of dollars a year. They're making about 13, 14 billions of dollars a year, and typically that's going to go up. My only thought is, okay, as things move on, baseball has already tried to adjust the game for a modern era, a modern generation. Are we moving to a place where the television revenue that comes in via baseball is not there the way it was in the past? Can baseball make that up at the gate? It's one thing to say, hey, I have 81 home games. Maybe I have some playoff games. And with my 81, I know that at minimum on average, I'm going to have 25,000 people in my building a night for all 81 games. And you can go ahead and do the math on the concessions and the parking and the food and the clubs and the suites, and you can go ahead and add all that money up. But if TNT or Turner, Warner Brothers, Discovery, there's so many things now, Roku, Major League Baseball is selling rights to Roku. I mean, they got a deal with Apple Television, Apple TV. If baseball is going to be the jack of all trade, the master of none, if they're not going to have a primary home, and it's just going to kind of test the waters everywhere. We know streaming is the way of the world right now. But if they're not going to have more of a clear direction, I don't want to say they're cooked, but they're cooked. Like, they're not going to be able to make the same type of money. And so that's my thought. Yeah, you can give one guy the lion's share of the money and then feed everybody else, not pennies for me and you, but baseball pennies. I don't know if that makes for a sustainable sport, a sustainable league, not where the money continues to go up. In an ideal world, the Major League Baseball Players Association would go, oh my God, well, we got Ohtani and Soto are in the $700 million range. And wait, we got to have a guy come through in another 5 years and maybe 3 years, a guy gets $800 million. And then we're going to move into a dude who has a $1 billion contract, you know, over the life. I don't know if the bubble, quote unquote, is going to burst. I don't know if the money at that point will still be there. And to be frank, I don't know. Look, the Dodgers are making money hand over fist. It's like, how many more guys can you just wake up and add? Oh, well, I guess it's easier to do if you're just going to defer and defer and defer and defer and keep on kicking the can down the road. That's a possibility. I'm just saying to myself, is the money for the league going to be there? I mean, are the players in a couple of years, are they automatically going to say, hey, it's time to strike again? You know, we need better deals, not just for, you know, three guys at the top, but we need better deals for everybody. So I don't know. Maybe these contracts that we have right now are at the top of the top. But the way the sports world is going, particularly in baseball, they are leading the way right now with these contracts. Are we going to see a $1 billion player? Are we going to get a little bit closer and then kind of have it chopped down? That's what I'm waiting to see. And just even looking at a guy like Devers, okay, there's only a few teams that can go out there and absorb his contract. The Giants are one of them. They've been willing to spend. We're just in a brand new world, and I'm waiting to see, you know, how high we can go, how far this situation can just move all the way up. It's crazy, this cash that's getting thrown around. And it's not like the Red Sox aren't capable of spending. It's not like the Red Sox don't have money. It's not like their ownership is just a bunch of cheapskates. Like, they have their hands in different pots, not just in the United States of America. This is not Bob Nutting out here calling the shots for the Red Sox. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. We're going to take a break. I can't believe this. We're getting closer and closer to Game 5 of the NBA Finals. The Pacers and OKC, they are all tied up at 2 games apiece. They will be in action in about 20 to 30 minutes. And how about this? Tomorrow, we got one team that can actually win itself a championship. We will see whether or not the Florida Panthers can close things out against the Edmonton Oilers. That game takes place tomorrow. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. Speaking of a championship, we got an NFL player who decided that he wants one, and now he's also being ripped to shreds. I'll tell you who that is. So we got a lot to do. We'll talk some hockey on the other side. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. We're minutes away-ish from the start of the NBA Finals, Game 5, down in Oklahoma City. That's tonight. We've talked about this game tonight. Winner between this game is going to have a lead. I think that I'd be surprised if OKC did not pick up the victory in front of their home fans tonight, take a 3-2 a series lead, get one step away from winning the NBA championship. But tomorrow night, based on something that we've already seen over the weekend, the Panthers beat the Oilers in the Stanley Cup Finals 5-2. That took place on Saturday. As a result, the Panthers, they broke their own 2-2 tie with Edmonton, and now they lead 3-2. They have an opportunity to close things out, finish things up tomorrow night on their home ice down in Sunrise, Florida. The Panthers can go back to back. They beat Edmonton last year. They're looking to beat Edmonton again in the second consecutive year. And this is a series that's been very high scoring. We've had 7 goals in just about every single game and every single matchup here. The Panthers are trying to close this one out. And let's be real. If you're Edmonton, you want to win on the road, which they've done. They want to go to Edmonton. They want to go ahead and fly back. They want to finish this series off and force another game 7. If we go back to last year, Edmonton fought and fought and fought out of a deficit and ended up forcing a game 7 to ultimately lose. Now with the Panthers up, teams that are up 3-2 in a 7-game series, they've won the series 80% of the time historically. It's closeout time. The Panthers have been to the Stanley Cup Finals for the past 3 seasons. The Golden Knights beat them 2 seasons ago, and now they're trying to just get this last victory. I want you to listen to head coach of the Florida Panthers, Paul Maurice. He talked about just being on the edge and needing to go out there and just get one more game.
Today is today, and we won't deal with tomorrow. Handle your day. We handle our day today, and we've got a travel routine. We're going to run the exact same routine. We got a day off the next travel. Just handle your day. That's all.
That is the most hockey thing ever. Today is today. You can only handle today. Only do it today. Today, today. Yeah, he's been around the block. He's been around the block quite a few times where he could come out and say such a thing. I mean, damn it, he was won a championship last year, so he's not all that worried about it, but he's the coach. What else is he supposed to sound like? Brad Marchand, he's out there playing, okay? And he was asked whether or not, man, you are this close. You're about to hoist the cup again. You're about to go back-to-back. You're going to be a dynasty if you do it. Are you scared? Are you nervous? I guess his answer is just as, man, listen.
Not really, no. To be honest with you, I said this to my wife, the most nervous I've been in years was before game 1, just the amount of time we had kind of leading up to it. But the morning that morning when I woke up, it kind of left. It's more just kind of sitting waiting, you know, more just antsy than anything, but not nervous. I mean, it's going to play out the way it's going to play out, and not really nervous, just excited.
Oh, not nervous. Yeah, just get it over with, right? I'm here for 7 games. Now, I wouldn't want to be on that plane, and I've talked about that. I mean, flying from Edmonton, from Florida, 8 hours? No, thank you. I think if you're both teams, well, obviously Edmonton wants to stretch this out and go back home and try to finish them on their home ice. If you're the Panthers, you do not want to fly back to Edmonton. You just want to finish them off in South Florida and send them packing and then go ahead and have yourself a nice parade. Me, I'm here for game 7. As long as I don't have to, get on the plane, which I don't, okay? Thinking about what Edmonton has done. They know how to go down. They know how to bounce back. Their head coach, Chris Knobloch, he talked about what went wrong and if they can correct it to force a game 7.
Getting behind obviously is tough, and you can only do it so many times against this team. And, you know, I thought we had a good start, and, you know, we didn't capitalize on our early chances and made a couple mistakes. Obviously, they capitalized. Knowing that we're in a difficult situation, win our last 2 games is something that we're confident that we can do that.
Well, what is he going to say? We're going to suck? What is he going to say? I don't think we can go out there and win. I wouldn't be surprised if Edmonton forced a game 7. I expect it. Now, we have seen this Panthers team go on a run, but I'm basing this off the law of averages. It's one thing to blow some teams out a couple of times. We've seen them blow some big leads here. Why do I think anything be different? I think when you look at Edmonton and you think about their goal scorers and Connor and Dreisaitl, they have an opportunity to just put up goals. And I think they'll go ahead and do that. Sign me up for a 7 game. This is my favorite time of the season when it comes down to anything NHL related. This is the series pretty much that I want to pay attention to. Screw a lot of the other rounds. I want to see the finals. And I've been watching it that way for as long as I can remember. Give me 7 games. Go ahead and sign me up. And now we're minutes away from they're not close to a game 7 yet, but we know that the Pacers and OKC are tied up at 2 as they're basically in the process of completing a shoot-around right now. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. OKC trying to win a championship. Okay, we got Florida, the Panthers out here trying to win a championship. Last week, Dak Prescott had some comments about winning a championship. And then, well, anything that comes out of Cowboys world is going to garner a lot of attention. And even with the finals going on, the Stanley Cup and the NBA, there's conversations about Dak. And some of it pretty hilarious. I'll talk about that on the other side of the break. If you want to call me, 888-710-4ISN. That number again is 888-710-4ISN. Okay, I need you to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. So take a look at the phone lines on the other side of the break. We'll talk about Dak Prescott. We'll start paying attention to this NBA Finals game that's about to tip. But what else is going on in the world of sports? It is time for a news flash right now, this minute, this second. It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Hey, now minutes away from the start, game 5 here of the NBA Finals. We'll see what happens with this 2-2 tie that we have in Oklahoma City between the Pacers and the Thunder. Of course, we'll keep you up to date as we continue on with the night. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. I told you about Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys. Dak had some words about potentially winning a championship. I'll get to that in a second. Let's go ahead and hit the phone lines up, and let's talk to Ted. He's calling up from Illinois. Ted, you're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate you guys. 2 points. Number one, it's the wrong time of the year to be indecisive about who your goalie is. Is it Pickard? Is it Skinner? Does anybody know? So I think you're wrong about the game seven.
If you're Skinner, you're getting slapped around a lot of the ways that he has early in these series. I mean, do you have a choice? I mean, they're running out of games to play. They're running out of season. It's just do or die.
Yeah, I agree with you. But, I mean, did Pickard do better last game?
Touche. No, not too much.
Right? Hey, and one more point, JR. And I think you're right. I want to say this first. I believe Oklahoma City is the better team. I do. I don't want to get into, you know, conspiracy theory referees and all that, but I will say this. JR, you watch the games, right?
Unfortunately, yes. That's an interesting question. I'm like, how am I supposed to answer that? No, I don't see any of them.
Oh, here's the point, though. Here's what I want to say, and I'll shut up and listen.
Okay.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 50-75% of the time, pushes off. A forearm shiver. That's what it looks like to me, a forearm shiver. He pushes off. Is that not a foul?
Well, yes. Yes, it is. It is a foul. Are you referring to Mr. Scott Foster? Is that where we're going?
No, I'm not gonna go there because, hey, look, I heard a guy say something. This was on a talk. He said, you know, there is such thing as human error, and I believe that. I do. Right. What you have to do is use an equation. Does it happen for both teams? Does it happen all the time? I'm not saying that. I will say this. Indiana messed up the last game. They did. They didn't do what Oklahoma City didn't do in their 2 losses. They didn't finish the game. They didn't make their free throws. They didn't make their threes. They lost the game, but there's some officiating that I do think is bad. I'm not saying it's intentional. It's going to happen in every game.
Yeah, it's human error, and this is one thing I always like to say, Ted. At the end of the day, you had 48 minutes, you had 60 minutes to go out there and do work. Don't put it all on the officials. Like, what were you able to
control? Put your foot on their throat. Yep.
What were you able to do or not do? So we'll see. Hey, Ted, thank you for calling from Illinois, man.
Thank you, guys. Have a good evening.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ted, for calling from Illinois. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. Speaking of the officiating, I do want you to hear what Rick Carlisle had to say about Scott Foster, who we know is one of the veteran officials in the NBA. If they do end up going to a Game 7, he is more than likely going to be the official in that final game. And Rick Carlisle, I don't know if he's kind of just like trying to grease the wheels. And it's rare that you really hear somebody bigging up an official, but Rick Carlisle's a little different. Also different that Rick Carlisle used to play. Listen to what he had to say about the officiating, specifically Scott Foster.
I think it's awful what some of the things I've seen about the officiating, and Scott Foster in particular. I've known Scott Foster for 30 years. He's a great official. He's done a great job in these playoffs. We've had him a lot of times. And the ridiculous scrutiny that's being thrown out there is terrible and unfair and unjust and stupid.
Wow. I will also give Rick Carlisle credit. And I don't think he's, and this may not be ass-kissing time for Rick Carlisle. He simply might be taking the approach of, you know, I'm going to stick up for one of our guys, my guy, you know, somebody in the league, which is very rare. But Rick Carlisle has at one point in time, I don't know if he still is, he was a leader of the Coaches Association. And so he's going to stick up for people. He understands what it means to be a part of a union. He understands what it means to, quote unquote, stick up for your guys. I don't know if that's the route that he was deciding to go there, but just a little different. You know, thinking about a coach showing love to a ref, you find that happening, slim, far, and few and in between, really. Matter of fact, we got this basketball game going on right now, this minute, this second. Game 5, Indiana, OKC. The score, Thunder 13, Pacers 12. And been about 4 minutes have gone by here. Now 15 to 12, 4 minutes or so going by in the first quarter. So we'll keep you up to date. This one is certainly probably going to play it close. Who knows what it's going to be outside of a blowout. And so we'll see. I expect it to go through and be played close. 888-710-4ISN. OKC trying to go for a championship, trying to get 3 wins. Tomorrow we talked about the Florida Panthers trying to pick up one more win to win the Stanley Cup Finals. And even though it's June, let's talk about championships in the NFL. Even though it's June, the word championship and Dallas Cowboys have been in the same sentence. And in hilarious fashion, it was uttered by Dak Prescott, who has now taken things to another level. Well, ESPN has, by highlighting the hell out of his comments and making it a massive, massive issue. I want you to listen to what was said by this man, Dak Prescott, last week. He said, "Of course I want to win a championship." And he says, "I'm not worried about my legacy. I want to win the title and just let things go from there." Listen to what he said.
"Yeah, I want to win a championship. The legacy, the things, whatever comes after I finish playing will take care of itself. I want to win a championship. Be damned if it's just for my legacy or for it's for this team, for my personal being, for my sanity. Yeah, the legacy will take care of itself. I have to stay where my feet are."
Oh, my goodness. Wow. And I get it. I get it. I understand. If you are here in this space and you are Dak, they're going to ask you about these things. Do you have to go ahead and be the one to answer them? Do you have to say, do you got to go that far? And so his comment, of course he wants to win a championship. Like, things are now taking a step further. His comments have been dissected. They've been tossed around, thrown up, cut up, overanalyzed on ESPN. It's a crazy thing. This was actually on ESPN, and Stephen A. Smith diving into, you know, these comments by Dak. Listen.
He's the biggest wasted quote in professional sports. You can literally, you don't have to. He is the one quarterback. If I could petition the NFL to say, Don't let a quarterback talk. Okay?
Oh, my goodness.
Because you get nothing from him.
I hate when you do this.
It would be Dak Prescott. All you have to do is rewind the clock 2 years ago, 4 years ago, 6 years ago. He says the same thing every year.
Stephen A.
It's a, all of that. If I taped an interview with Dak Prescott at this time, it's June. If I taped it at this time, 4 years ago, 6 years ago, click, it'd be the same thing.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, is he telling a lie? He's not. Which is, but at the same time, what is Dak supposed to say? And they had this conversation. They had a whole segment about Dak. They had a whole conversation about Dak and his legacy. And everybody's just like, it's June. And if you're just a casual viewer, like, don't you want to talk about the NBA Finals? Don't you want to go ahead and, I don't know, look at the Stanley Cup Finals? Aren't there other things going on besides overanalyzing the Dallas Cowboys? Like, it's kind of nutty. But if you're ESPN, in a lot of cases, that is, that's what pays all the bills. Chris, are you surprised that they were doing this?
It's like we were saying earlier, JR, like, you should be disappointed if you were surprised.
Who are you talking about? Me?
Well, no, I'm saying the proverbial you, like, someone, if they were surprised that ESPN was talking about this during the NBA Finals, they should be disappointed that they were even surprised. Like, this should be expected.
Yeah, I mean, the Dallas Cowboys, and this is the odd thing. It's even odd to sit in front of Dak and ask him these questions. The Dallas Cowboys last year went 7-10. Dak Prescott basically had the meat fall off the bone of his damn leg, okay? He only went out there and played, what, 7 games? They went 7-10, no postseason. Mike McCarthy is now gone. You think about the season prior to that. They go to the postseason. They win 12 games. Forget last season. They win 12 games the past 3 seasons, and they lose. They can't advance past the wild card round, the divisional round. They don't make the postseason. Like, I think, I don't want to say Dallas Cowboy fans. I think a lot of their fans have come to the realization of who and what they are as a team, period, okay? I think in a completely different space right now, maybe the media is also sucked in to Jerry's world and Jerry's land. And look, Jerry Jones says some wild and crazy things. You know, this is a team that's been featured on Hard Knocks. Jerry Jones typically likes to let his superstar players and their contract situations kind of drift all the way into the last minute and in training camp. He's a wild dude. He does interviews. He's always saying crazy things. Now, all the while, in this crazy world that we live in, the Dallas Cowboys are, they're going to be news. But in June, while the Stanley Cup is going on, while the NBA Finals is going on, please, 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 find something else to get into. Try your best. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. NBA Finals are going on right now, this minute, this second. At this point in time, give you a little bit of an update here. OKC, a little bit of a lead. And I said this, they're the ones that are typically leading. The Pacers are generally having to wait on them. OKC leads 22-14. This is still the first quarter. We're about halfway here through in the first. And you want to know who's putting up the points here? Of course, the guy who's been averaging about 33 points a game in the finals. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander leading the way for OKC. With 7 points here, and they're only halfway through the first quarter. Jalen Williams has 6 points. Chet Holmgren has 5. And Indiana, the guy who people look at and go, well, he's not a star. Or when is he going to show up and play like a star? Tyrese Halliburton, 0 points here in the first. Pascal Siakam has 5 points. Miles Turner has 4. And the Pacers are trying to avoid the 3-2 deficit. If OKC wins today, I think we are pretty much all done, all set. I think it's going to be a wrap. Okay, we'll see what happens. I'll keep you up to date as I'm hanging out here with you for one more hour. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. If you want to give me a holler, you can go ahead and do so. Here's a phone number, 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. When we come back on the other side of the break, we have so much more to get into. Of course, at the end of the show, we'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. We got a historical figure who will be making a comeback. Can't wait to tell you who that is. And then, of course, I'll give you another update as to what's going on in the NBA Finals. You're locked in. You're listening. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast, on the Infinity Sports Network. Don't move.